Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message comes in the form of a question. Would you read it with me? Does Reformation still matter? Based on the epistle lesson that Stephen read to us from Romans 3, these verses. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being testified to by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I invite you to turn in your worship folder to the back of that folder and find the sermon outline there. Well, today is Reformation Sunday, okay. But here's a question for you, a question we need to ask today. Does the Reformation still matter? Do we need a special service on a special Sunday to remember what the Reformation was all about? Oh, I suppose it's helpful for us to remember who Martin Luther was. And this fact became evident to me not too long ago in a youth confirmation class when I asked the kids, tell me, who was Martin Luther? And one child said, oh, yeah, I read about him in school. He was that African-American civil rights leader in the United States in the 60s. His full name was Martin Luther King. Well, no, the Martin Luther we remember today is that priest, that pastor, that theologian who lived 500 years ago and helped reform or change the church of his day. To get the church of his day back to the center of its biblical faith. The center, as our children's sermon has said, which is Christ Jesus our Lord and nothing else. Now, it's certainly helpful that we remember the Reformation to remind us of who we are as Lutherans, a bit of our history. But does the Reformation still matter? Does the Reformation still matter beyond being a reminder of our heritage and our history? At first glance, the answer is no. You see, the Reformation was not so much about Martin Luther as it was about the questions of righteousness and certainty. How can anyone get right with Almighty God, was the question. How can anyone be certain of heaven and eternal life, was the question. The reality is, in North America today, most people aren't even concerned about those questions. More than a few questionnaires and polls have been used. They've shown that most people today don't even think about God's law, don't think about being right with God, about heaven or hell, or even if there is a hell or a devil. And an article in the magazine entitled Moody, which is from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, said this. In our world today in North America, we are not hungry, sick, or persecuted enough to even look to God or to look forward to heaven. Life is pretty good for most of us here in North America. And in a recent book called Timeline, written by a fictional author named Michael Crichton, a greedy corporate executive is shown as giving a speech to a bunch of shareholders and investors in a travel business. In fact, it happens to be a time travel business. Here is part of his speech. Listen carefully. In other centuries, human beings wanted to be saved or improved or freed or educated. But today, people want to be entertained. The great fear today, my friends, said the speaker, is not disease or death. The great fear is a fear of boredom. It's a sense of having time on our hands, a sense of having nothing to do or nothing that we want to do. The great fear is that we might get bored, that we might not be amused. Do the works of this fictional novel speak to us today? Have people today set aside the things of God for matters of eternity to pursue entertainment, excitement, and amusement? Are you more and more hearing, or maybe even saying, these phrases? I'm bored with my life, with my marriage, with my job, with my routine. Could it be that even people within the church are looking more for entertainment and amusement than for service and commitment? Unfortunately, the answer to all these questions is yes. So I ask you, does the Reformation still matter? Today, you see, we're just not asking the same questions that Martin Luther asked back in the 1500s about righteousness and certainty. But of course, many people say today, oh yes, I believe in life after death. And when asked, most people say, yeah, I figure, I hope, I guess I'm going to heaven. You see, everyone today likes to believe in happy endings. So says this way of thinking of happy endings, then why worry about being right with God? Why worry about being certain of eternal life? I recall a graphic example of this North American happy optimism, believe it or not, that happened right after the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers in New York. Can you believe that's over 10 years ago? Someone drew a picture that was in newspapers all over North America. It was a picture of fallen buildings with billowing smoke. And out of the smoke were figures, people rising to heaven. Standing above the smoke and the buildings was Jesus, larger than the buildings, larger than the smoke, with his arms open wide. And in this picture, he was welcoming everyone to heaven. Now, it's a wonderful picture, except did everyone who died in those buildings go to heaven? The picture seemed to say that everybody who died, excluding the terrorists, went to heaven. But did they? Does getting killed in such a tragedy automatically qualify you for heaven? No, according to St. Paul in our Romans text today from chapter 3. There St. Paul tells us the truth. And that's what Reformation is about, telling the truth. He writes, St. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It doesn't matter how you die. It doesn't matter if you are young or you are old, if you are a stockbroker on the 30th floor of the Trade Towers or a custodian with a closet on the 5th floor. It doesn't matter if you die of cancer or of old age. We are all sinners, says Holy Scripture. We all fall short of God's glory. And by the way, Max and Jen and Damien and family, sin is the reason Damien was baptized this morning. His sin needed to be washed away. He needed the forgiveness of Christ won for him on the cross of our Lord Jesus. He, as do all of us sinners, needs to be welcomed into the arms of our Savior. And make no mistake about it, that's exactly what happened today in the waters of holy baptism. This action of God shows us that God is in the business of forgiving sins, of washing away sins, of welcoming his children into his arms forever. Every baptism, every single baptism is a clear declaration of God's grace and God's mercy for sinners. Let me ask you a question this morning. It's pretty personal. But the Reformation is about telling the truth and asking important questions. How can you be sure today? How can you be sure of being right with God? How can you be certain of eternal life in heaven? The happy optimism and wishful thinking of many people, as suggested in that newspaper drawing, is not the answer. The grace and mercy of God in Jesus Christ, that's the answer. The clear and unashamed proclamation of the grace and mercy of God for sinners is why the Reformation still matters. What Martin Luther did 500 years ago, and what we must continue to do, is to answer people's questions, their eternal questions, by turning to God's Word in the Bible. God's Word is not just the opinion of people. God's Word is not just written to make people feel good. It was to this Word of God that Martin Luther turned to answer the true questions of people's eternities, to questions of righteousness and certainty. And this is why the Reformation still matters, and it especially matters for today's modern church. Why? Because, sad to say, in today's modern church, some bad choices are being made. Choices not to base teaching and practice on God's Word, but upon the feelings of people, the opinions of people, the current views of society, what the majority of voters want. Just one example of many, many issues would be this example: the definition of marriage. Is marriage for one man and one woman? Or for two men? Or for two women? Or does it even matter anymore today? Does the Christian church take a stand on what God's Word says? Or does it exchange God's Word for a popular and current view and fad in society? And are there consequences for taking such a stand? You bet there are consequences. Just look around you here in our congregation. In just the last 6 months, 100 people from St. John's Anglican Church meet here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because they have been kicked out of their former church body for taking a stand on God's truth on the issue of marriage. You don't even have to look back at 9 o'clock. Look at our 11 o'clock service. Another dozen people are in our midst who recently took the same stand in their former church, and they had to leave. They're here because their church body turned their back on God's Word and jumped on the bandwagon of the feelings and emotions of a sinful and misguided society. The Reformation always keeps one question in front of our eyes. Here's the question of the Reformation: but what does God's Word say? And this is why the Reformation still matters. One key biblical passage summarizes the very heartbeat of the Reformation. It's the passage we read today from Romans. Listen again. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." Man's terrible sin, but God's wonderful grace. This is the heartbeat of the Reformation that still needs to beat today. And this is why, you guessed it, the Reformation still matters. I was reminded of this just 2 weeks ago. A young man came to visit me here in my church office. We ended up going across the street to Minoru Park for almost 2 hours, lap after lap after lap. He shared many things from his life, a life filled with more than his share of tragedy and heartache. And he quietly said that he had truly appreciated worshiping with us recently because he heard the clear gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for his sin and risen for his salvation. As we finished our last lap around the track, he then said to me words that really spoke to my heart. This is what he said. "And to think that I had gone to my own church for 40 years and never heard that my sins were paid for by Jesus, that I'm made right with God and can go to heaven because of what Jesus did for me." Now, I don't need to tell you what church he'd been a part of, but it's a church body that continues to obscure and even set aside the grace of God in Jesus Christ with traditions and rituals and regulations. As a result, too often, the sweet, simple message of Jesus crucified and risen for sinners is obscured and hidden. And here's yet another reason. You can guess it, that the Reformation still matters. My friends, this really is a matter of life and death. Because when death gets near to you, and it will, when death gets personal, too close to disregard, and it will, the Reformation still matters. In this past year in our congregation, I have needed to minister to people who are terminally ill, to people who are close to death, to people and their loved ones who are staring death right in the face, to people who have lost someone to death. What a holy and sacred time that is for a pastor to be with people at that time. And it's at these times that cheerful optimism or wishful thinking or crossing my fingers and hoping just won't do. It's at these times that the Reformation's answer, the Bible's answer, God's answer and certainty is needed. This answer and certainty declares that Jesus Christ is crucified and risen for me, yes, a sinner like me. And finally, that's where the newspaper drawing of the 9/11 tragedy, terrorist attacks, had it right. Standing above everything is Jesus. And if anyone from that terrible tragedy was going to heaven, it was because of Jesus. Perhaps I'm seeing more in that artist's rendition than he meant for us to see. But if you look carefully at that famous picture, you will see nail prints in the hands of Jesus standing over it all. Because Jesus was nailed to that cross at Calvary to make things right between sinful people and Almighty God. Forgiveness of our sins comes from His sacrifice. Our eternal life comes from His death. Our certainty comes from His resurrection. Jesus Christ alone is the Reformation's answer, the Bible's answer, God's answer to all questions of life and death and righteousness and certainty. There's a well-known historical summary of our Reformation faith. It's summed up in three phrases. I'm not sure if you can see it. It happens to be on our Reformation banner back behind the pulpit. In case you can read it, our whole Reformation faith is summed up in these phrases: faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone. Our faith rests on the grace of God declared on every page of Holy Scripture. Our eternity rests alone on the grace of God declared on every page of Holy Scripture. The hope for our sinful world rests alone on the grace of God declared on every page of Holy Scripture. And this is the very heart of the Reformation. And boy, oh boy, boy, oh boy, this really does matter. In the name of Jesus, amen.